lane. Crosses up Van Hula. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go off the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the west side. No good. But she's going to get on the rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas State for three. No,
she got it.
Kansas State for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Ah, it's the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Channeling our inner Colin Cowherd there for the intro. Last show of the semester means my last show as a host. Lucky, and you guys are lucky though. Scott and Joey coming back. Anthony Ferretti will be taking over for me. But this is the final night that myself, Scott, and Joey will be together as a team on the Red Zone. So we're going to make it a good one. We have some big sports going on around campus. Redbird football, I'm sure many of you know. Second round of the FCS playoffs on Saturday. We're going to recap how that game against SEMO went, and then we'll preview this Central Arkansas game. And then after that, Redbird volleyball. MVC champions once again means they qualified for the NCAA tournament once again. They're in Madison. They're getting set for a match tomorrow against number 4 Wisconsin. We'll talk all about that match. And after that, we're winging it for the rest of the show. We're going to make it fun. It's our last show. We're going to go out with a bang. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Brady Davis from Redbird Football, and you're listening to Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to The Red Zone, 6:05 on the beautiful campus of Illinois State. Hector Carrion, Joey Dwyer, and Scott Rosala with you for, sad to say, the final time ever. This final Red Zone of the semester. How are we feeling?
You know what people say all the time? They say time flies, and they're not wrong.
No.
It literally felt like just yesterday that we were talking about our first show, and now it's our last one, and it's going to be a little tough. But you know what? I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I remember nights where early in the semester when we were just learning how to run the show, nights Scott and I would be up in his apartment like
literally
3 a.m.
3, 4 a.m.
Like, making sure these interviews were like, we're sitting there, we're both just so tired, so sick of each other. And he's like, and we're like, let's just get two more fun questions in, dude, and then we could go to sleep.
Joey's like watching my TV. He's like just doodling. He's on his phone. I'm like, Joey, let's just get this done.
You know, but at 4 in the morning, your productivity just plummets. And that's especially true now. We're getting into the thick of final season, and I don't think anybody's been as swamped as Scotty has these past couple weeks. Scott has disappeared off the face of the earth and into the face of Google Drive.
And I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it's been all semester.
Yeah. No, this has definitely been a semester with the classes that I'm taking. My eyes are so dry, they're going to fall like in the back of my head, because I feel like I have been looking at like a computer screen for the last like 60 hours. It's tough. It's tough, but you know what? I love it. And, you know, just something you got to do. Everyone kind of grinds through finals, and I want to get them done, but it's bittersweet because I know that, you know, Hector's going to be leaving. A lot of people are going to be leaving and graduating, but, you know, it's just kind of what we're going to do. I know you're going to be back. I know you're going to come visit.
I'm visiting all the time. I wasn't able to sublease the apartment, so
really?
I have a for sure bed.
Okay.
Isaac can't tell me I can't come because I have a key. He can't lock me out. How are we holding up, though? It's been a stressful week. I know we're almost done. Almost done, there. I know, Joey, we usually, Thursdays are the day that we see the most of each other, because we have Red Zone, so we try to be down here as much as possible. I saw Joey for the first time today at like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I usually have the Thursday newscast, 1:30, 2:30, but I just had so much stuff. I had like two documentaries to watch for one of my classes, and thank God for Maritza. She filled in for me.
I shade your back.
But yeah, but I was just, because I was sitting at home, I was like, there's no way I'm going to, and I was up at 7 in the morning working, and I just, so I'm gassed, but it's going to be a fun night, our last zone. We'll celebrate a little bit afterwards.
You want to know what's been getting me through this?
What?
You know what I found out, like a fun fact that actually Keegan brought it to my attention? If you go to Starbucks and you get like an iced coffee or something like that, and you keep that cup, which I have right here in the background, if you keep that
cup, nice shake,
but if you got that Starbucks cup and you keep it, it's 55 cents.
Ooh.
To refill it.
Are you sure it's that one though? Yes.
No, this one right here.
Like the regular, not the reusable one.
I watched Keegan go up with that cup and it was 55 cents. He got four coffees. It cost him, well, obviously the initial coffee's like $3 or whatever, $3.25, but then the rest of his coffees were like $1.50 for like three coffees.
And it's for sure, because I know they have the deal, like if you buy one of the $20 cups or something.
He was using that one.
That's crazy. Yeah,
have you tried?
I have not, but I'm thinking about it.
I think they're going to tell him no. They probably just said yes to Keegan because he's so tall.
This 6'8 dude comes up. You don't want to say no to something he asks for.
They're
going to
see Scott coming up asking for a refill on his coffee.
Sir, absolutely not. This is a McDonald's.
Oh, man. All right. I think we should get to it. There's a lot of sports going on. Not a lot. It's really really two teams getting all of the attention. We'll kick things off with football. I'm sure everyone knows, football finally qualified for the playoffs again this year. But we weren't sure how things were going to go. Brady Davis tore his ACL the last or second to last game of the season. And we saw after the Brady Davis injury, the Redbirds weren't in the best position at quarterback. They took on SEMO last weekend, and they put on a show. I'd say it was definitely the James Robinson show.
Oh, yeah, James Robinson. We've been talking about him all year long, which, you know, rightfully so. He had 41 attempts in that game, and he rushed for 297 yards.
And then put his receiving yards on top of that. He had over 300 all-purpose yards.
And he had a
yards.
Reception. There was only four receptions in that game. He had one of those receptions. He had 25% of the receptions in that game. And that's just something, I mean, we know he's a special talent, but when you're rushing for 297 yards in the playoffs in a big spot, and you win that game 24-6, that's pretty impressive.
I think this game, and obviously he's kind of been doing it all year. Mm-hmm. Like it's really been the reason the Redbirds are in the playoffs are because of the defense and James Robinson. He's been doing it all year, but I think that performance definitely solidified him getting drafted.
Oh, I'm saying third round. Well, yeah. After a performance like that?
The thing is, I always thought he was going to get drafted. I think that doesn't solidify the draft. I think that solidifies the round he goes in. I think that just puts his stock way up. I was thinking more of maybe a fifth, sixth rounder, because you can see some pretty solid running backs come out of the fifth, sixth round, you know, like Alvin Kamara and guys like that. But I think he can go, like, third or fourth.
Oh, absolutely. I think he is I think his talent is going to translate so well to the NFL, too, because there are so many teams that are going, like, running by committee now.
Yeah.
And he is the perfect example of, like, a downhill guy, right? But you can plunge him up the middle, and he can get you 5 yards.
The only thing that scares me with him is he doesn't have the breakout speed to swing right or swing left.
And that's exactly, you don't use him in that situation.
That's,
you know,
true.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a power guy. He's gonna
he's like a J-Hal.
He's gonna lower his head, he's gonna lower the shoulder. And, I mean, it works for him, obviously, because he's an NFL running back.
But does that make him, if he can't swing out with that blazing speed, does that make him like a dual threat? Or is he a guy that you are literally just going to pound the rock up the middle and kind of have plays like that?
I think
he can catch.
I think initially he'll be more of a power back. Like you're just going to pound him inside.
Kind of like a Kareem Hunt?
More of like a...
Because Kareem Hunt doesn't have blazing speed either, but he can catch.
Yeah.
He's quick. And
he,
in the middle.
He reminds me more of like a, I don't know, maybe.
It's a tough.
Who's like a good power back in the NFL right now?
I'd say.
Oh.
In the NFL? I'd say Latavius Murray.
Oh,
Saquon. He's elusive. Saquon,
yeah,
he runs outside. Leonard Fournette.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's a great comparison.
Wow, yes.
Maybe Fournette.
Yeah,
you know, there's a little Jordan Howard in him.
Yeah, but Leonard Henry's a power guy.
I was going to say Derrick Henry. Yeah,
I think Leonard Fournette is a really good
David
comparison.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah. DJ as well.
Look at that. We're comparing him to the elite group of running backs, really, in the NFL already. He still has at least one more game, but I think. He's for sure, there's no way he doesn't get drafted now. You know, and it might have been in question because of the fact that he's coming from ISU. It's an FCS school, you know, I guess. And, I mean, ISU's in the best conference in FCS football. You have a team that's won, I don't know, like 8 of the last 9 national championships in your conference. But I think that this game really, because you see that FCS stigma behind players. It's mm-hmm. like, all right, he wasn't good enough to be on an FBS team, a Power 5 school.
Yeah.
So I think there's kind of a stigma behind players that try to come out of the FCS. This game definitely shows everyone that he's good enough to play at any level.
And now if you're Central Arkansas and you know that our receiving core has been a little weak throughout the year, and obviously our quarterback situation is in shambles. I mean, we really don't throw the ball a lot. We threw the ball 7 times last game. How do you prepare for Illinois State if you're Central Arkansas?
Well, the thing about Central Arkansas is I was doing some research before the show. They are a very explosive offensive team, but defensively they've given up. They've been giving up a lot in terms of passing yards, rushing yards. They're also not super solid. They're giving up over 140 yards a game on the ground. And so that's huge for the Birds because you have a team that's a little weaker on the defensive side, especially against the run. That's a great sign for James Robinson. And then offensively, that's where they get a lot of their firepower. But the Birds' defense has been playing unreal football.
It's one of the best defenses in the country.
And so I think this is a matchup that the Birds might have been praying for because it aligns perfectly with their strengths, and they don't have to worry about any of their weaknesses coming into Central Arkansas.
Illinois State comes in this game 9-4. Central Arkansas is 9-3, so they kind of had a similar season. The only thing, obviously, that we talked about and touched up on a couple times is the fact that Brady Davis is hurt, so that's one thing that affects us. But I think if I'm Illinois State and I'm a SPAC in this situation, I think this is a team that we easily line up against. I think that we keep running the ball to James Howard or James Robinson. I think he keeps coming out, and I think he performs like he does. He showed that he comes out in big situations, and I think with Central Arkansas allowing so many running yards against them, I think James is going to come out and have another good game. I think, I think our defense is going to play well, and we have seen in the NFL, we've seen in college, that defense wins championships. And that's not just a saying. That is something that we have seen, and it's been proven. And I think the Birds are going to come out. I think they're going to get a win.
No, yeah, and obviously people like tend obviously they don't have a quarterback. And Bryce Jefferson, redshirt freshman, they had to take away the redshirt for him to play.
I think was the best choice for the team.
Yeah, no, which was a choice, especially with the running back you have, with the defense you have. You needed to make that move because he was the better quarterback of the two available. But even with him, we've seen defenses really all season, because when Brady Davis wasn't hurt, he wasn't having the best year either. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the quarterback he was last year.
And it cost us some games.
Yeah, it did. So we saw teams have the ability to just completely sell out to stop the run on defense and still not be able to do it. So if Central Arkansas tries to sell out and stop, we've seen it fail. Mm-hmm. Like, the Redbirds are in the position they're in because of how good James Robinson is and how much other defensive have failed to stop him.
And you have to also throw some respect on the Birds' O-line.
Yeah.
Without them, James Robinson isn't going anywhere. We had on the show Drew Bones, a center. That was a couple weeks ago, and he was just talking about how that's like they got a little family going on the O-line. They're just trying to protect all their brothers out there, and it's evident every time you watch them play because they work their tails off every single down, and that's why James Robinson is able to use his talents so effectively, is because he's got that great blocking up front.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, outsiders, they don't really pay attention to that. But when you're watching a football game, you can tell the teams that don't have a strong offensive line because there's so much pressure that's put on that quarterback. You see when a running back doesn't have the room to kind of make moves and doesn't have the holes and the gaps to break through. So that is something that you have seen with ISU all season. They have just been making those lanes for James, and he's been moving through it. And, the quarterbacks have been having a lot of time. So that is a great point there. I think ISU, again, I think offensively and defensively, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be solid, and it's going to be a very, very exciting game.
Yeah. And sticking with that offensive line, we talked about how Central Arkansas doesn't have the best defense. And that offensive line, that Redbird offensive line being so strong, we see the effect it has on James Robinson. We see how easy it is for him to run the ball. Does that make things easier for Bryce Jefferson? We saw him complete 4 passes for 52 yards. Yes, it's not a lot of pass. There's not a lot of completed passes. There's not a lot of yards. But it was really that he hasn't played at all this year. So he's seeing his first action in the playoffs. Does that offensive line make things easier for him, especially with a softer Central Arkansas defense? Do we see him kind of not show out, but, you know, have a decent game, which is, I think, all they need. They need Bryce Jefferson to make the passes that should be made.
And I think that not only does the offensive line take a lot of pressure off of Bryce Jefferson, I think James Robinson also takes so much pressure off of him, because if you have a stud running back who you're going to give the ball to probably 70% or more of the plays that you're going to run, you can call a play action. You already know they're sold out to stop the run. You're going to have one-on-one matchups down the field. And if you're a D1 quarterback, that's a throw you should be able to make.
You know what? He's a freshman, too. And I think that's something that we kind of have to consider here, is he came in and he didn't really have a lot of experience. And I think we saw that. I mean, I think the nerves were there. I mean, when you're coming out of high school and then you're playing in front of crowds that are, you know, Division I crowds, you're just playing in front of 8,000, 9,000 people, the nerves are there. You know, these are human beings. These are still student athletes. The kid's 18, 19 years old. So coming in there, I think it took some time for him to kind of settle in. He's got a couple of games under his belt. I think he's going to come out. I expect a big game from him. I expect him to be a little bit more calm and composed. If not, I think we're in trouble. But I have high expectations for him.
Yeah, I feel a lot better going into this game than I did last week. And maybe I might just be because of how they performed against SEMO, just seeing them out there without Brady Davis, James Robinson really stepping up how he has stepped up all year. But I definitely feel better going into this Central Arkansas game than I did into the SEMO game. I think they have a much better chance of winning this game than I thought they did against SEMO.
And Southeast Missouri is not a cakewalk by any means. They were a good team all year. And I think you're absolutely right. They really proved themselves, and they stepped up and they said, you know what, we lost Brady Davis, the head of our offense, but that's all right. We can still persevere and overcome adversity, you know. And so I think that they have a very good chance moving forward. They have so much momentum because of how handily they beat SEMO.
And let's not forget, Andrew Edgar, he had a 33-yard touchdown. So, I mean, first game Jefferson came in there and threw a touchdown, that's a good sign. You know, like I said, with being a freshman, being young, kind of got that monkey off his back a little bit, and I think it's gonna be a good game to watch. It's gonna be a good game. I wish we were calling it. We're not calling it, right?
Yeah, it was a little too far. It was an 8-hour drive. We tried to see if we could maybe get a reporter on the team bus, but there is no team bus. They're actually flying out,
okay.
So there was no room for us there.
I want to know what the closest airport is to Conway, Arkansas.
I honestly, do we know where in Arkansas Conway is?
Let me do a quick little
a lot of information about Arkansas in general, because I really don't.
All right, Conway, Arkansas. Let's looking at a quick Google Maps search right now. We're looking at we're just north of Little Rock.
Right,
maybe half an hour, 45
that's
minutes.
That's right, Little Rock is out there. Okay.
That's not terrible.
No, that's not awful.
8 hours too much to drive, though. Yeah, 8 hours too much to drive. We will not be there, but you make sure to tune in. That game is going to be broadcasted, on multiple outlets. Redbirds taking on Central Arkansas on Saturday. Kickoff is set for 2 p.m. The winner of this will take on most likely North Dakota State. They're playing Nicholson, Nicholson. So everyone expects North Dakota State to run the table. If the Redbirds win this one and things hold true up in North Dakota, Redbirds' next playoff game will be against the Bison. We'll just have to wait and see. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking some Redbird volleyball. You're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Steph Jankowicz from Redbird Volleyball, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
Steph Jankowicz bringing us back into the show. Steph and the rest of the Redbird volleyball team in Madison, Wisconsin. They left last night, got there today. They did a little charity work today. I saw I did weather today at TV10. So if you miss that, you go to their website, see a nice-looking meteorologist there, tell you what the weather's going to be like on the weekend. But they're up in Wisconsin.
And you should know that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be going out there.
Yeah, I'm doing a play-by-play for the Redbirds' opening NCAA tournament game tomorrow. You can catch that action right here starting at 6:50. But we have stuff to talk about before that, because this Redbird volleyball team is hot. Winners of 8 or 9, I had the number in front
it's
of
eight.
Me.
It's
8 straight matches. And you know what people say, it's just not volleyball, it's really every sport. The most dangerous team in the postseason is the hottest team, and I'd say that Redbirds are one of the hotter teams right now.
And they, you know, they finished out the season 22-11. I know from the start of the season, I think we expected it to be a little better than that, but that doesn't matter. You
they
know,
did have some injury problems, though.
They did.
Kind of set them back there in the mid part of the season.
They did.
And then they were able to rebound from that.
But I think the fact that they did get hot late and they are on this 8-game win streak just shows that this team, when they're together, when they are fully healthy and they are in rhythm, they're a team that you don't want
to
mess with.
Yeah, they beat, to win the Missouri Valley, they beat number one UNI straight up.
They shut them out.
And that was a great game to watch. And they're just firing on all cylinders. But now it's number four in the country, Wisconsin. And then after that, winning that would mean either UCLA or Notre Dame. So it's a tough road ahead for the Birds.
And taking a look at those eight games that they played and they won, they've only dropped four sets combined.
Yeah.
In all eight of those games. I think that's something that you really got to bring up there because that is pretty crazy.
No, yeah, definitely. They're playing the best volleyball they've played all year, and it's the perfect time to be doing it. And, Joe, you said they beat UNI in straight sets. They also had to go through number two Loyola to get there. They beat Evansville in the opening round. Then they played Loyola, beat them for the third time this year. Loyola lost, I want to say, four matches this year. Three of them were to the Redbirds. So that's a pretty big statement. They're within the conference because you're just asserting your dominance against the top teams in the conference. You beat Loyola three times. You sweep UNI. It was a home game for UNI. UNI hosted the MVC tournament. It was a home game. The Redbirds swept the number one team in the conference on the road. I think they can do it in the NCAA tournament, too. We saw the way they performed earlier this year in the Redbird Classic. They beat U of I. They beat UCF. They were a point away from taking down Marquette.
Yes, but there is some scary statistics that I want to bring up really quick. I know statistics don't really mean anything.
Scott's a big stats guy.
But they're nine.
Big numbers guy.
But I am. I am a big numbers guy because I think there is something that has to do with home court advantage because they are 9-3 at home. And that tournament, when they had a very big tournament, they were at home for that. You look at their away schedule and their away record, they're 6-5, which isn't horrible. It's not horrible. It's still above 500. But I think going to Wisconsin and playing the fourth-ranked team in the nation in their building, I think that's going to be really tough.
It is, but I don't think it's a challenge that the Birds are incapable of overcoming. I just think that it's going to take a lot of focus because it's going to be loud. This is a very good team with a very large fan base, and the stakes have not been higher for this Redbirds team, especially on the road. You can argue that the game against Illinois was also some pretty high stakes, but they were here for that, and you two were on the game, and I was there, and that crowd, I think we can all agree, was absolutely electric.
Oh, and we talked about that game. Me and Hector went on about that game for weeks because we literally would look at each other in intermissions or in breaks or TV timeouts, whatever it was, and we'd be like, we don't know which team's ranked. Like, if you're like not even a supporter and you're just out there watching a volleyball game and you saw these two teams play, it did not look like one team was ranked top 10 in the nation and one team wasn't ranked at all because ISU dominated that.
Yeah, that night you were watching two top 25 volleyball teams.
And
I think that's the reason why they're in the tournament. And back to the point about the road record. During this 8-game win streak, five of those games, and I'm counting the Valley tournament games as road games. I guess they are a neutral site, but they're not at home. Five of those eight games were won on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that overall road record isn't as good, but as of late, which is what matters, especially here in the postseason, when you're hot, they're winning on the road.
And you just had the players that are coming out, and I mean, you look at just some of the players that we have. Kaylee Martin has over 500 kills. That offense is something that has been needed because we've always had a good defense. We've always played very good defense behind the net. But now that we start picking up the offense, we've definitely been winning big games because of that.
Yeah, and the offense, and I think probably the biggest part this year, because you knew coming into the season the kind of you knew that Kendall Meyer. You knew Sydney Hall. You knew who was going to come out and perform. You knew Steph Jankiewicz was going to be one of the leaders on this team.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem with the team was the youth and the fact that you've had three freshmen come into this year and have solid playing time. Sarah Kushner, Katie Weimerskirch, and Emmy Ogoger they don't just come in and out so often. They're in the starting lineup.
Yeah,
they play the entire match. And I think that's the reason why this Redbird team is so dangerous. It's because you have those young girls, those young women, excuse me, who came in. They're freshmen. They've never seen Division I volleyball talent. They came into this year. This was the first time they were on a stage this big, and it's gotten even bigger. And it's gotten bigger throughout the season, and they've just stepped up every time.
And that's one of the most impressive things about this team. Just to echo what you said, there's so much youth. And I remember at the beginning of the season, we were sitting on the show talking about it, and we're like, all right, well, this team is looking good, but are we sure that this really young core can keep up this level of play throughout the season and not get spooked? And they have been nothing but very professional, very mature. They look like a team of all seniors. Just the way that they play together, you would have thought all of these women have been playing together for all 4 years.
No, yeah, and we said it, I want to say like halfway through the season, we started saying that, and like we said, it's been exactly that for the entire season. And I Leah Johnson can't get enough credit for what she's done to this volleyball program. This is her third year. We saw them go to the NCAA tournament last year. They're in the NCAA tournament for the second straight season. She's come in, she's changed the culture around this volleyball team. You know, this is volleyball went from not being a big sport here at ISU. They're on their way to being one of the major sports here at Illinois State.
And she's not just putting on a show. I mean, we've had multiple volleyball players on the show this year, and they have all talked about what she's like in the locker room, the dynamic that she brings, the reason that the chemistry is so good, because she's someone that these women want to play for. And that's something that I think is very important with a team. I mean, if you have a coach that you don't respect, things are just not going to go your way. And Leah Johnson has come in here, and she has taken this organization, and she has just brought it to another level, and it shows that every year.
Yeah, and we've seen it. We saw it last year when they were MVC regular season champions. They won the tournament this year, their second straight NCAA tournament appearance. She said this is what she was going to do. She said she was going to come in here. She wants to change the culture around this team. She wants to make it a new culture. She wants to, you know, wants to turn things around, and that's exactly what she did. The Redbirds in the NCAA tournament for the second straight year, they are taking on number 4 Wisconsin, the Badgers, the number 4 overall seed for the NCAA tournament, the Redbirds in Madison. First serve for the first round of the NCAA tournament is set for 7. You can catch all of the action right here on 103.3 WZND and on WZND.com starting at 6:50. And also follow at WZND Sports on Twitter for coverage all day. We'll be arriving in Madison early tomorrow morning around noon, so tomorrow afternoon. But we'll have coverage for you all day from Madison tomorrow. And if the Redbirds win tomorrow, we'll be there on Saturday doing the same exact thing. We're going to step aside, though. We'll take a break when we come back. We're having some fun. I'm not sure how the rest of the show is going to go. Don't know what direction it's going in. But you want to stick around for it. You're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Illinois State men's basketball point guard Parrish Lee, and you're listening to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
6:33 on the campus of Illinois State University. Hector Carrion, Joey Dwyer, Scott Rizala on the mics with you here for the night. For the final time, the final Red Zone of the semester, the final Red Zone of my career, the final Red Zone of the Scott, Joey, and Hector show. So we're going to have some fun now. This is probably our favorite thing to do. You guys don't think we're serious when we say this is all we do. We're talking about the Bears.
Oh. And Joey, how about you tell everybody what you're wearing right now?
All right, so I got a little, nice little big heavy.
It's authentic.
It is a big heavy Chicago Bears sweatshirt. I think it's like I stole it from my mom, who stole it from her dad. So this is like 1980s. Then to cap it off, I got a new hat our boy Adrian bought me for Christmas. It's like the new Monsters of the Midway logo.
Okay.
Like the cool graphic novel thing that they're doing.
Okay.
So I'm all Bearsed out right now.
Did you have that hat on all day?
No, I just threw it on like maybe 20 minutes.
All right, I was going to say, your hair looks phenomenal. It looks so good. I was not ready for it when that hat came off.
See, that's the bad part about having a radio show is the listeners can't see the flow, you know what I'm saying?
The flow looked good. That's the best I've seen it in I don't know how long. And he has a hat on right now, too.
Sheesh. You guys flatter me too much. It goes straight to my head.
Hey, Joey's not the only one just decked out in the Bears gear, though. We had Isaac and Maritza walking a little late. They walked in as we were coming back there. Isaac is in his Bears jacket, which is a beautiful jacket.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a story behind it. It was, and it's not, I'm not even related to the woman, but she was my aunt. She's my aunt's mother-in-law, and she was a hoarder, so she had just a bunch of stuff in her house. This is allegedly her dead husband's coat. My dad went over there, snagged it, washed it for me, gave it to me like a couple Christmases ago, and you know I've been rocking it since. Underneath, I have the Dick Butkus jersey.
Well, so you're going really?
Oh yeah, I'm feeling for tonight. We're gonna need that throwback energy.
I was going to say, I saw the 5. I saw the jersey on underneath. I saw the 5, not sure what was following it. Didn't know if it was a 1 or a 4.
That's a nice jersey. Need that old energy. Huh? We need that throwback energy.
Or a 2, yeah, or a 2. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Could have been 2. He's pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Let's get into it.
I was gonna
I'm ready.
Say, let's go. It's a big game. It's a big game. Bears are 6-6. I don't want to say they're back. Because yes, they've won a couple games, but it's the Lions, it's the Giants, and you barely beat them. You barely beat him.
We beat a third-string quarterback.
Exactly. You barely beat
Purdue.
Him. I'm not. I don't. I'm fighting everything inside of me to not jump on that wagon. I haven't done it yet, but if the Bears win tonight, I'm all in on the Bears.
I said it earlier. I don't think, and it's going to hurt me because I have 3 fantasy players in the game tonight. I have Amari Cooper, I have Ezekiel Elliott, and they're playing against the Bears. That's going to be tough.
You got to sit them.
But I'm right in camp.
I don't care. I don't even care if it's playoffs.
No, I can't do it.
Yeah, I think you got to take the L.
But look at my flex option. Anthony Miller. And Anthony Miller has been going off. He's had 10 receptions, he had 9 receptions the game before that, and 8 receptions the game before that. He is obviously becoming one of Trubisky's favorite targets. I think, overall, though, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be like the game that we saw last year between the Rams and the Bears. I think it's going to be like 15-6, maybe 13-6, and I think the Bears are going to come out on top. I think we go 7-6.
It's going to be an ugly game, I'm ready for it. And
well, what's
the past couple games have been ugly?
Literally inside, Scott.
No, it's in Chicago.
Is it actually in Chicago?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's literally,
wow.
It's on his laptop.
I can't believe
it. Because it's in front of my renovations? God. Is there renovations in the field?
That's a pretty tough look there, Joe. I mean, you give Scott a lot, and he deserves it most of the time.
Oh, here we go.
I'm looking at his laptop. It literally says Cowboys at Bears.
That's tough for me. But,
well, you know, reading's hard.
But
hey, it's been a long week.
But here's what I'm going to say. I don't know if you guys have been reading about this, but the Cowboys have, like, imploded this week.
Oh.
Like, there was a ton of locker room fighting. Jason Garrett has completely lost
team. He's lost the team. He's lost the owner.
I'm excited because I think the Cowboys are going to be an absolute mess, especially offensively. I think our defense is going to pick them apart.
I think this is Garrett's, like, and this is the season that he has to go to the playoffs. And the thing is that kind of stinks is the Cowboys could lose this game and they could still finish 9-7 and make the playoffs because their division is
they're
so
6-6 in first
it's so
place.
So weak.
They're
like
in first
the
place in their division.
And the Eagles just lost to the Dolphins.
Yeah, and the Eagles
are to the Dolphins.
So they're by far in the worst division in football. They're sitting at 6-6. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're just out of control right now. I'm looking at Adrian in the window, not sure what he's doing over there.
I'm
talking and everyone's looking over my shoulder. I have no idea what's going on out there. But the Cowboys are 6-6. They're in a bad division, and they've imploded. Joey said it. They don't know what to do. Everything they try to do goes wrong. They can't do anything right. Jerry Jones is not happy with anything the Cowboys have done. He's ready to just take over the – I mean, he owns the team. He's a GM. But he's ready to go down on the field and put the headset on.
But we're the same team. I mean, literally, both teams have had the same expectations all year, and we're both 6-6. We're both sitting at a spot where we never thought we were going to be this late in the season. And that's what I think makes this game even more fun, because it's so much is riding on just this one game for both teams, and the Bears need to win out. We've been doing, I know, Hector, you got to pull
it
down.
I have it up.
We talked about
hey, Bears can make the playoffs 9-7.
No, wait.
The Bears can make the playoffs 9-7.
So I did like a normal scenario. I went through every game. The Bears have to win out. The Cowboys, or not the Cowboys, excuse me, the Vikings have to go.
They have to go 2-2.
2-2, lose, and obviously if the Bears win out, they'd beat the Vikings. They have to go 2-2. If that happens, the Bears are into the playoffs. I did another scenario. I think I had the Packers. The Packers go 2-2. Those two losses would be to the Bears and the Lions.
Yeah. All right.
That happens and the Bears win out, Packers go 2-2, losing to the Bears and the Lions. the Bears would be the 3 seed, and they'd host the Packers in the wild card.
That would be nuts. But the thing is, it is kind of realistic. The Vikings play the Lions, then they play the Chargers. I think the Vikings win those two games, but then they play the Packers and the Bears, and that's where I see your 2-2.
And here's my big thing: if the Bears can win tonight, Akeem Hicks is back.
I know. Again, I wish we had him tonight.
Akeem Hicks will be back,
and Zeke's gonna be hungry.
Yeah, but so will Khalil will be hungry too.
Hey, Khalil, he's showing up lately.
And with Akeem back, that defense is going to be running on all cylinders. If we can win this game, I'm confident that we can win those last three.
Yeah, no, if the Bears win tonight, I legitimately think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't trust Kirk Cousins enough. I don't know how a Viking fan can legitimately say we are comfortable in the position we're in right now.
If they were to flex that Minnesota-Chicago game to a Sunday night, that would be huge for the Bears.
And if things end up happening the way we need them to happen, where that final game of the season, it's winner take all winners in the playoffs, you have to flex it up.
And it's kind of been on that path for a while now. Like, the Bears have had to win out, and it's been that way for the last couple of weeks. The Bears have had to go 10-6, and I know that Joey said 9-7. It is a possibility, Scotty. I know it's not a likely possibility, but it is still mathematically possible they can go 9-7. My favorite one, though, we haven't touched on, is if they go 7-6-3.
Oh, man,
that means the Vikings have somewhere along the lines we'll have a better record than the Vikings.
I'm gonna try to work it out right here because I did it earlier.
Okay, go ahead.
So what I did earlier was we were sitting in the programming office. Keegan was eating Subway. We were just hanging out. I was like, Isaac was there. We were talking about the Bears. I was like, all right, let's hop on this this playoff simulator thing. So we're having fun. So what I decided to do was see if the Bears could not tie out, but tie 3 of the last 4 games. They tie 3 of the last 4 games and beat the Vikings. The Vikings lose out or go 2-2 or something like that.
The worst scenario ever.
The Bears would make the playoffs at, what was it,
7-6-3.
The Bears would make the playoffs at 7-6-3.
No way.
All they need
that
to
sounds
do,
like a hockey record.
All the Bears need to do is tie 3 straight, win the last game, you should be in the playoffs at that point.
You know, I like the proposition of tying the Chiefs way more than I like the proposition of beating them.
Can I bring up one thing? Because I do have Isaac to my left, and I've been wanting to bring this up. In the beginning of the season, Isaac didn't you make a bet with one of your friends from either back home about this Cowboys?
Oh, yeah, he was supposed to be coming in tonight. He ended up not. But, yeah, we have a big rivalry that goes back a long
time.
He's a big
Cowboys fan. So, obviously, I'm sure you guys have been texting back and forth.
Oh, yeah, it started this morning at, like, 6. He's got, like, a factory job overnight, so it was, like, 2 a.m. I got a text saying it's the day. It's the day.
What are his predictions? What are your predictions?
Well, it's always, like, nonstop. We're either going, like, when it's me and him, like, we're talking about it, like, mm-hmm. we're going to win by 30 or they're going to win by 30. It's not going to be a close game. Like, we're going to blow each other. It's unrealistic. It's getting into it. But, you know, because it's funny, like, the last time we played them, they actually did blow us out. And, like, going into I was talking as much smack as I could. And they were so bad that year. Like, I knew they were going to get their doors blown off. But, yeah, we got whacked.
And I think it's scary because we are going against a very solid offense. I mean, if Dak comes out and he shows up and he plays the game that he knows how to play, he's very good. He showed out in the beginning of the season that he can play. The thing is, they have Ezekiel Elliott, but Roquan Smith has been coming out. I think he has like 15 sacks.
Oh, he had 15 tackles.
15 tackles.
Yeah. 15 tackles in his last game. Two sacks, yeah.
I think as good as Zeke is, I think our defense can shut him down. And if we do that, that's big. But the thing is, their receiving core and Amari Cooper, who's kind of been battling an injury all year, but they have Michael Gallup as well.
Yeah, I think the scariest part about the Cowboys and Prince Amukamara is out. So our secondary is
weakened, and the receiving core is
really strong right now.
I don't think you just need to neutralize Zeke though. You just don't let him kill you. Don't let him run the ball down your throat all night. If you just neutralize him a little bit, you can't stop. It's hard. Zeke's good. He's gonna run the ball. He's gonna break a couple of runs. He's gonna break a couple tackles. He might score a touchdown or two. Neutralize him. Don't let him run the ball down your throat.
I think the Bears, though, even with the loss of Danny Trevathan, they've still got Nick Kwiatkowski, guy who he exemplifies grit. That dude is so undersized, and he's just you look at him and
he's
like, that guy should be like selling me car insurance. He should not be playing middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And then he comes out with like 13 tackles, like three tackles for loss. He's insane.
It's been fun to watch, and he's one of my dad. He emerged into one of my dad's favorite players because the way he does play.
I think he's every dad's favorite player.
No, he is the definition of a dad's favorite player.
Yeah, and the interesting thing I think about Kwiatkowski is like Trevathan's contract's up at the end of the year, and like his contract's up at the end of the year, and we really weren't thinking about extending Nick Kwiatkowski at the beginning of this. This season. Now it's almost like, hey, we got the best value for him. I mean, we're in his system. It'd be a surprise if we didn't resign him.
No, yeah, he played his way into a contract. He played his way. Not only did he play his way into a contract, I think he played his way into a starting job with the Bears on defense next year. He's been showing out he's been showing out. You see Nick, you see him fly across the screen and you're like, who is that?
Yeah.
Like, no, he's just, I don't even know how to put it in words. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for Kwiatkowski to just come out and be one of the best players on the defense.
So the last thing we're going to say, can we all get a score prediction tonight? Starting with you, Hector, what do you got?
It's going to be an ugly one.
Really?
It's going to be nasty to watch. Bears win 17-13.
Okay.
I'm taking the Bears. It is going to be ugly. I think it's going to be like 16-13 Bears. That's just a gross game, a lot of field goals. I hate to do that because Eddie Pinheiro scares the living daylights out of me. But I'm saying 16-13 Bears take the dub.
I think the Bears know that Eddie Pinheiro is a liability out there when he's kicking, so I think they will be a little bit more aggressive. And you know what? I got to keep it to the way I normally keep these predictions, so I'm going to go Bears 28, Cowboys like 3 or something like that.
See, I like that, and I'm going to go against the grain as well. I was going to say that actually before Isaac made that comment. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Trubisky's going to throw for 4 touchdowns. I think Dak's going to throw for 3.
What?
I know, but the thing is, Prince is out, and I think the run game is going to get stopped because of how good our linebackers are, and I think Khalil Mack's going to put the pressure on. I think it's going to be an air game, and I think Trubisky's going to have to show out. I think he's going to be throwing his little screens like he does, but like I said, I like A. Miller. I think Anthony Miller's going to come out. He's going to get like at least 10 receptions. I think Robinson is going to have a very good game, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. It's Thursday night football. We all know how crazy Thursday nights get. It's not going to be a generic Sunday game.
Scotty, I see that Bears fan in your eye right now. Scotty, that was as meatballish and as just bullheaded as I've ever heard. I love it. Let's ride with it.
Jumped on the wagon. And another playoff machine here real quick. I don't know what I did differently this time. I, again, did 3 ties, 1 win. But this time, I have the Bears making the playoffs at 7-6-3. The Packers made their way up to the 2 seed. So the Bears would be playing the Saints in the wild card game. Don't know what I did differently.
I don't know about all that.
I don't know what I did differently. Whatever I did, because when I was doing it, up to week 17, the Rams were the wild card team. So I don't know what I did differently. But right now, all the Bears need to do is tie 3 games, win 1. You should be in the playoffs.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too hard to me.
Right? Just tie. On purpose. We're going to step aside when we come back. I don't know what we're doing when we come back. I don't. What are we doing?
We'll see after this minute and a half of spots.
All right, you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
It is the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Joey Dwyer with you now. I kicked Hector off the host mic. Because Scotty, we got a little something special planned.
We do. And because it is the last episode that Hector's going to be on, we brought some very special people to us and for Hector that kind of want to say something. We have Maritza Navarro-Lopez, our NSOD for next semester, and she's got something to say to Hector. Maritza, what do you got?
Hector, since starting to work with you, I've always think back to the moment that you trained me to do my first newscast, and I was like super nervous, and I always tell you that I thought you were like the coolest guy that day.
Because I am.
And then I was so nervous to talk to you because I was like, he knows what he's doing and I don't know what's going on.
And he's so cool.
Yeah. And then I realized, no, you weren't. You were just a regular guy. but
a cool regular guy.
Yeah, whatever. But as I've worked with you this past semester, seeing you every day is just always like the best part of my day, and you always bring a smile to my face. And I will always see you as that cool guy who showed me how to do a newscast.
I'm
and
a cool guy.
I just always appreciate every moment that, you know, that we have together. And you always keep me steady down here whenever I get really stressed. You always tell me to relax and stop being soft, and then I get it together. But, yeah, I enjoy every moment down here, and I'm really going to miss you next semester.
Oh, thank you, Maritza. Hey, this is the first time. I think this is the first time I actually say it. I'll miss you, too.
Oh, wow. I'm going to cry.
There it is.
She always calls me her best friend. She always says how much she's going to miss me. I tell her, no, she's not. This is the first time. I'm going to miss you, too.
Yeah, you are my best friend. I don't care how much you deny it, you are.
It's crazy. It's crazy the things that come out when you come on air. And it's right. Everything's
you put a mic in front of someone, it's just it's game over. Ugh. Got the waterworks going. Thank you, Maritza, for coming on. Next, we got somebody, you've heard his voice before. Hector's roommate this year, also good friend of all of us here, Isaac Missile. We've been sharing some Hector stories, and nobody has more than Isaac. So, anything you want to say to Hector?
Oh, the ones that really count cannot be said on here. That's a cliche, and that's whatever. It's yada yada yada, but it's the truth. This man,
yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah, it's got truth. But what I will say, the best, just because it does technically start with the station when we went to Arch Madness last year, just starting the. Like 13-day extravaganza of just being together, sleeping in the same bed, and then going to Florida and then sleeping next to each other. Yeah, we're pretty much inseparable. That in like 10-day stretch. I said 13. I think it was like a 10-day stretch or something like that. It was a long. It was two weekends and a full week because it was spring break. Yeah, so I'll leave it at that. Nice wholesome little story. Like, oh yeah, that's what I'll remember the most. There's so much other stuff. But honestly, the first thing I remember of Hector, just because it's funny, I think he mentioned it the other day, I was delivery driving at his zombie cookie, and I was just sitting back there standing on the cooler like a cool guy, because like the delivery drivers do, and he walked in with former news director John Murray, and I just thought, oh, that must be John's roommate, because I just assumed him and John were just the bestest of friends, but you know, it's funny how everything worked out, but yeah. Spring break, sleeping next to each other, and yeah, outside. Yeah, there's no beating that.
Yeah, and I know what it's like to sleep next to Isaac, so I know you're like his best friend because this kid snores. I'm not. Listen, I went to Louisville with this kid. We captured that game for the NCAA tournament for baseball, and Isaac, I probably threw about 15 pills at you.
We'll just let Scott talk. I guess I snore. I slept in the same room as my brother for like the first 18 years of his life.
He's a deep sleeper then. He's a very deep sleeper.
The only person to ever say snore is Scott Rosales. We'll leave it there then.
I was going to say, because at Arch, I don't recall ever waking up to snoring. And
I was spooning him at Arch, so yeah, he would. Yeah,
there was no snoring in Florida. We sleep. Our rooms are right next to each other. Walls are pretty.
Oh,
thin.
The walls are
so thin. Yeah, I hear him cough. He coughs. I wake up. Yeah. That's how thin the walls
apartment's
are.
Apartments very cheap. Apartments all time.
That's
cheap.
How thin the walls are, and I haven't heard any snoring. Quick story though. Scott has something to say. Quick story, because Shannon's listening too. Isaac, he was still working at Insomnia. We didn't know each other yet. We had no idea who we were. Like I don't think he had started working here yet. Delivering cookies. Shannon ordered Insomnia cookie. I think it was super late at night one day. Ordered Insomnia cookie. Turned out she didn't want it. She bought them. They went out for delivery. She didn't want it. Isaac was the one delivering the cookies that night. He called her three times. She didn't answer. She ghosted him. She just didn't answer.
Isaac's
sitting outside of Cardinal Court with cookies, and he just didn't. No one answered him.
And I've told Shannon this, so I'm not going to be ashamed. Those are the worst customers. Yeah, that was the reason I quit that job. So
Shannon was ultimately just
could not handle it.
And Isaac works at Medici.
And it was earlier this semester. It had to have been maybe at the end of last year. Shannon was looking through her looking through her voicemail. And saw voicemails from Isaac, had no idea why she would have voicemails from Isaac, listen to him, and it was him trying to deliver the cookies.
Yeah, from like 2 years ago. It was, that was a really great find. That was it's nice to reconcile one of those customers, you know?
I think Isaac said this, and it's probably the biggest cliche, there's so many things that I can't say on air of memories that I had with Hector, and I don't want to get too soft, so we're kind of switching up. We'll start soft, and then we'll end with something funny, because you always got to keep the mood light, but I can honestly say, Hector, that you were my first friend down here at Illinois State. I was a transfer student. I didn't really know anybody here. I lived with my brother and his friends and that I became close with, but I didn't really know anybody down here. It was something that it was new to me. I didn't really have a lot going on. I had a surgery, so I couldn't really go out and do stuff. And you really did. You were the first person that took me under your wing and brought me in and introduced me to Isaac. You introduced me to Joe. You introduced me to everybody. And you didn't have to do that. I mean, you were someone that really came in and made me feel comfortable. And you're one of the main reasons why I stayed and I worked so hard down here and I met so many people. And I want to thank you for that. So getting off that soft mode there, we're going to move on to something.
Getting off the soft
a little funny, yeah. Just he didn't want to start crying.
He's also someone that holds grudges. So if anybody wants to know about Hector, we had this thing last year, because Hector was not a director last year, but he became one because he started one. He's also an entrepreneur. He made himself his own hallway director. And I think me and him got into a little dispute about something, and I was actually his assistant hallway director.
Oh, I'm going to tell him exactly, because he's going to tell the story wrong. I'm going to tell everyone exactly what the problem was.
It was a very big day for me. I was excited. It was my first time ever being a director. I said something to Hector. You know, we got off on the wrong foot. The very next day, I'm coming down. You know, it's after a long day. I got my headphones in. We're my Beats headphones. Shout out Dr. Dre. And I walk in the door. I took a hard left, and my picture is crossed out in the hallway. I guess I was fired. I guess I was let go. And I'd like you to sum that up for me. I want to know why.
All right, here's the thing. So I did Scott. I did him a favor by hiring him on as assistant hallway director. Okay. And this is not a made up position. This is a real thing. We need a hallway director down here, and I said I'll do it.
It gets crazy in the hallways.
I took one for the team, and I did it, all right? And I need an assistant. It's a lot of work.
Of course.
It's not easy.
So, of course, you turn to me.
I was like, you know what? I think Scott could do it. I think he has what it takes. Scott has a problem with authority. He called himself the hallway director. The minute he said that, it was over.
Yeah, I could tell.
I told him, you're done, Scott. You're fired. And he wouldn't let me fire him. And then, so we left. I came back. I crossed his face out of the office hours sheet. He just had a problem with authority. He couldn't handle being told what to do.
To change pace a little bit, we have a message. Shannon, who you brought up earlier, we asked her to be on the show tonight. Unfortunately, she couldn't, but she did leave a little message that she wanted you to hear.
All right, let's hear it.
She said, I'm so proud of you and how far you have come. You are hardworking and do everything with love. The sky's the limit, and you can put your mind to do anything when you put your mind to it. Love you lots. Can't wait to see the amazing things you're gonna do.
Thank you, Shannon. I don't know if she's still listening right now. She's having some fun with her friends. They had a little get together at Fiesta, and you know we know what the special is at Fiesta on Thursday.
Yeah,
but she's a real fan. She calls herself a ZND super fan.
Mm-hmm.
So she's at.
She's always calling it.
She's at Fiesta, and I got two Snapchats from her friends that are there with her. Two separate girls Snapchatting me this. Shannon sitting at Fiesta with headphones on, listening to the show.
That's dedication.
That's dedication right there.
That's dedication.
That is dedication. Thank you, Shannon. Means a lot. I love you. I'm still listening. She's still listening. She's still listening. Thank you. That means a lot. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being the number one fan.
And you guys are kind of both going through, because she's leaving too, right? I mean, you're graduating and she's got student teaching.
Yeah, she's going home for student teaching. So I guess we are both kind of done here. Yeah, I mean, we can still come back whenever we want. Yeah. But yeah, neither of us will be here next semester, which is bittersweet, you know. Mm-hmm. Graduating, it's done with school finally, but miss the boys, you know.
I'm gonna miss
the ooh baby.
miss talking on the radio, miss broadcasting sports, you know. It's whatever though. It's life. It happens.
It's been a good time.
Yeah, it's been a while. No, we're not closing the show out yet, Scott. I don't know, what are they gonna do? Fire me? Are you serious? No, I want to thank you guys, you know. You made my job a lot easier. I was super nervous coming in because obviously we all know Andy is an amazing voice. He's good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He was a host for two straight years, won two straight awards as a host, so I had pretty big shoes to fill. I knew it was going to be tough, but you guys made it so much easier for me. You made this show what it is. You guys showed me how to work hard. Scott, 18 credit hours, 18 or 19 credit hours, making two documentaries, in charge of all of the film stuff that went into the show, and he's still out here. He's here every day. He's putting in the prep every show, being the best producer he could be. Joey, just as busy, is not in as many classes, but he's in the Acapellas. That takes up so much of his time. He's in the same amount of classes we are in, and he's still here putting in that prep time here, putting on a good show every single week. You guys stepped up the couple shows that I had to miss. No, you guys just made everything so much easier for me, and I just want to thank you guys for that.
No, and we appreciate that. And you coming on, I mean, me and Joey were fresh. You were on this show last year, and you did. You learned from, you know, Julie Martin. You know, shout out her. Shout out Andy Olson again. And you took what you knew, and you came in, and you showed me and Joey, you know, how it's done. And we can't thank you enough for that. I mean, not only did you show me the Red Zone, you showed me my first call. You showed me how to do actualities. I know Marissa came on and said the newscast. You showed me my newscast. You showed me how to put things in wide orbit. I mean, you showed me so much last year and this year, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today and doing the things I am today without you. So I do really appreciate you for that, and I want to say thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank both of you guys. Last year, we'll keep talking a little bit. I don't care. It's 7:01. It's fine. It's whatever. Last year was a lot of fun. Yeah, I learned a lot last year. Last year was with Andy and Julie. I learned. This year, I got to grow with you guys. And that just means a lot more to me because I feel this year I took, and I'm not saying like, oh, I'm super good at what I do, but I took a huge step forward this year, not only here on the Red Zone, but on play-by-play broadcast, as a journalist, as a writer. And I got to do all of that with you guys, with Isaac. We have Jared over there, Adrian, Maritza. You know, I got to do this with all of you. And it wasn't just this year. Even last year, you guys were all here with me. And the fact that I got to do it with you guys, you know, last year's group meant a lot, too. But this year was a little different. This year, it was real intimate. There wasn't as many of us, and we kept getting closer to each other every day. And we never got tired of each other. We literally spent, me and Isaac lived together. It's me, Joey, Scott, Adrian, Jared, not as much, but unfortunately, we still love you, though. He's there. He's here. He showed up for the last show. Yeah. Maritza,
No, that's one thing we about Jared. Jared, you have been to, like, the last, like, 5-6 years.
Yeah, Jared doesn't even work at Z&D.
And he's here more than some people are.
He is down here every Thursday night. And I'm just like, I see him walking the halls, I'm like, huh? Like, what is going on?
No, yeah, so this year, I was nervous coming in. Last year's group, we know there was a lot of people there. There was a big friend group that was leaving. So this year, I was a little nervous. It was a lot more intimate this year. I definitely enjoyed this semester a lot more. I got a lot closer with the people I care about, and it made this year everything that I could have asked for.
And it flew by.
Yeah,
it's over. Flew by.
It was.
I was in class today. I was with the LTP's class, Laura Trendle Paulus. He's in charge of TV10, if you guys don't know.
little shout out.
Hey, she gave me the chance to do weather, and I ran with it.
Yeah.
And I turned into an award-winning meteorologist.
I don't know if anybody has seen Hector's weather forecasts, but they're
phenomenal.
They're incredible. I watch them every week. Like, no lie, you can go on the TV10 website and go back and retrospectively watch them, and they're just.
Don't go watch. They're not that good. They're not that good. Don't go watch them. But I was so I was in her class today. At the end of class, she asked who was graduating, so I raised my hand. She told me where I was sitting, like the two people I was sitting next to, or in between. And that's like when it got real. That's when I was like, wow, I'm graduating on Saturday.
You know what? Let me ask you a couple questions, because I feel like we've been interviewing a lot of athletes on here, but you've never been interviewed. So I'm going to roll off the top of my head.
I want to know a couple things
for other people out there.
Scotty and I didn't do any prep for this, though. We didn't have any.
We didn't have any
we
prep.
Didn't have
so
a 4 a.m. session.
This is off the top of our head. Really, just really quick.
All right.
A little late.
We'll close things out on this.
We'll close things out on this.
All right.
So you heard all of our memories, and you've heard our favorite memories here at ICU. What is the one thing that you think about when you leave here is going to be the most thing that you take away?
We talked about this at the last director's meeting. They asked me what the one thing that I was going to take away was, and I can't narrow it down. If I had to narrow it down to one, the best experience I've had here has to be Arch Madness.
Okay.
Just being in that environment, being in the St. Louis Blues play in that arena, that's a legitimate arena. There was it didn't get as real as that. You know, we were underneath the arena. It was a legitimate thing. There was professionals all around us. There wasn't many student broadcast group teams. There couldn't have been. The people that were there do that for a living. That was by far the coolest thing I took away from that. But as a whole, it has to be like every broadcast I was a part of because. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that work their entire lives to try to become a host of a sports talk show. And, yeah, that's once a week for an hour. But there's people that work their entire lives that never come close to even being a producer on any kind of show. There's people that work their entire lives to try to do play-by-play that get as high as high school, and that's as far as they can go. I got to host a sports talk show. I got to do play-by-play for Division I athletics. I'm getting to do play-by-play at the NCAA tournament tomorrow. So it's just all those broadcasts that it's just that I got to do that already. I was 20 when I started coming here. 20 to 22 years old, I've done things that some people never get to do in their lives.
And looking ahead at the future, obviously, we listen to you on air every week. You can hear you're obviously a very talented broadcaster. Is broadcasting your career aspirations? What are you looking forward to in the future after graduation?
So that's the dream. That's what I came to school wanting to do. I want to do play-by-play for preferably a baseball team. Obviously, I'm a Cub fan, so I want to do play-by-play for Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of that happening are slim. But right now, that's the dream. That's what I want to eventually be able to do is do play-by-play for a professional sports team. But I've been thinking about this a lot, just getting to do what we do here. I want to do everything now.
Yeah.
I want to work with teams like what the SIDs do. Like, I'd love to do that. I'd love to be on the radio. Like, if I could go and just talk on the radio for 4 hours a day, I'd do that too. If I can be a beat reporter for a team, I'd do that too. I feel like blessed for it because I see what other people do and I'm like, wow, I'd like to do that. Like, I could see myself doing that. But it has made things a little harder when applying for jobs right now because I'm like, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. But I can't do everything.
Yeah.
The dream is to do play-by-play for a professional sports team, but I want to do it all. Like, I don't know. It's tough. It's a weird, maybe you guys will understand a little more when you're at that point, but it's a weird spot, yeah.
And I think with the work that you put in and the things that you do, I mean, listening to your calls, and this isn't even like a biased thing, listening to your calls from last year to this year and listening to your volleyball and stuff like that, it has been nuts. Like, the improvement from last year to this year, it's like you're a completely different person.
Thank you.
And you're 22 years old. I mean, you have so many years to develop and get even better, and I think you will. And I think you're the kind of person that's going to do it. And that's not just me saying that because I'm your friend. That's me saying that as a work colleague as well and seeing that the work that you put in, I think, dude, you can do anything you want.
Thank you. It means a lot.
This show would not happen without the work that you put into it. So it's going to be sad.
It's going to be different.
To have you leave.
Hey, you still be here. You're going to be rocking and rolling. Anthony Ferretti taking over. It's going to be a good show. You're going to have just as much fun next semester. It's going to be good. You guys
might have to have a little special guest, Hector Karen.
Hey, maybe if we push for these phones to get fixed.
Yeah, maybe. That'd be big.
Let's push for some upgrades to the studio. So
if we've got any aspiring radio engineers listening who want to come in and
come
do some
down.
Pro bono to get
come
some experience, you're more than welcome to make a stop by the WZND studio.
All right, boys.
All
right. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Are we done? We went 8 minutes over.
I'm going to start playing this right here.
All right, let's hear it. Just running. That's unfortunately the end of our show. The end of the final show of my career here at WZND. The end of the Hector Scott and Joey era. Things will go on, though. Be sure to tune in next semester, same day, same time. New host Anthony Ferretti will join the boys. Scott will stay on. I don't know if Scott's going to stay on the boards, but Joey and Scott will be on the show still. Anthony Ferretti will be joining them. That's going to wrap things up. Quick thank you to everyone that made this possible. Steve, Deb, Ashley, Blake, and Andy, who hired me here. The boys for making the show go run smoothly. Isaac for being the best friend that I've always wanted, the roommate that I've always wanted. He's sitting here right here. He's smiling right there. Quick shout out to my parents. Thank you for loving me and allowing me to transfer twice before coming here. Quick shout out to Shannon for supporting me through everything I do. Love you all. It's been real. This has been the Red Zone on 103.3.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone, again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And, of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.